This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin. I've had a tweet from Steph at Michael Park Surveyors.
Oh, yeah. What's she saying?
She says, thank you for the shout out, Vanilla Webb and Jules. We would, hold on, where have we gone? We love you back. You were saying how much you loved her.
Oh, yeah. I was more saying, let's meet for cocktails at the Copper.
Where and she said, she's saying, we're almost.
Thank you, the Copper Salon in Bromley.
Yeah,
East Street.
We're almost afraid to listen in now. Because we're already hungry and you're going to talk about fantastic food.
Yes.
And that's Steph. I'm sorry, Steph, we're going to make your mouth water,
yeah.
I think.
Yeah, we are. And the Sally Marshall Group, have you read that one? So they say, B-Bunker, using the hashtag, very diligent. They say, we have a networking event at the Foundry Brew Pub right next to Fruitworks.
Yes, it is.
In Canterbury.
That's why I read it just before the news.
Did you?
Yeah, but you can read, it again.
I read it much more sweetly.
You do.
3 p.m. on Monday the 12th of September. So that's next Monday, isn't it?
Yep.
Monday week.
Yep.
And maybe we'll see you all there, they say. So that's Sally Marshall Group. She's a publisher and she is based in Sandgate in Kent, which is a really lovely area.
It is. There you go. So get along to that. Do you know what? We've been waiting for this for ages. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the Business Bunker Show Mr. Haran Thurai Raja. And I'm sorry for mangling your name.
That's a really good pronunciation.
Oh, is it? Oh,
yeah, I'm impressed.
Oh, thank you.
You're obviously fluent in Sri Lankan.
I'm going to quit while I'm ahead.
You've been practicing, haven't you?
It's a pleasure to have you on, my friend.
Thank you for having me.
Haran is the owner of Copper Salon. Sri Lankan restaurant in Bromley, East Street, I believe.
Yeah, Sri Lankan restaurant and a cocktail bar.
And a cocktail bar. He's discovered the...
Yeah, I've seen the list, Paul Andrews.
He's discovered the...
I'm going to go there, meet Zeynep, of course, and work my way through.
She's more than welcome anytime.
She's going to drink you dry, mate. She's a nightmare. Yeah, even she'll turn up for breakfast and drink you dry with cocktails.
Our cocktails are strong, so
you just
make it extra.
Oh,
strong.
You know what will happen then? What will happen then, Haran? She'll drink them all. She'll get completely woozy. Then I'm teetotal, so I don't drink alcohol. She'll then ring me and go, oh, can you come and collect me and bring me home?
Oh, wow.
I've drunk too much. That's what we'll get.
Tell her to download Uber.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
it's very useful having a teetotal friend, I find.
Yeah, very useful. Yeah, exactly. I need to find one as well.
Yeah. It's the only reason she talks to me, you know.
So tell us about how you got into this, because you're not actually a chef yourself, are you?
Yeah, just to tell you a bit about me. So I was born in Sri Lanka.
Whereabouts in Sri Lanka? Because big country.
I was born in Colombo.
Is that the capital? I was going to say the county town.
County town of Sri Lanka. Yeah.
Colombo is probably the only big city of Sri Lanka.
What kind of city is it? Can you describe it?
It's buzzy.
It's fairly modern, isn't it?
It's really modern.
Yeah.
Very buzzy, very busy because it's highly concentrated in population.
Yeah.
It's got amazing food in Colombo.
Yeah.
And Colombo is based just off the beach. So
oh, wow. So it's coastal. Coastal
capital. I think, you know, the Portuguese, the Dutch and British, they all use Colombo and they build loads of canals around Colombo.
So you've got the Portuguese influence spices.
It's really interesting. Many years ago, I mean, like far too many years ago to remember, I worked with Sri Lankan chap whose name was Brian Staymarker. And you go, hold on, how are you Sri Lankan? And he went, well, we're originally Dutch.
Burgers, right? So,
yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of, a lot of diversity in Sri Lanka because Sri Lanka is one of the main part of the Silk Route, right? So you can't go to the east without crossing Sri Lanka.
Right.
We had a lot of influence from Arabs, Portuguese, the Dutch, the Malays, the Chinese. And what Sri Lankans are good at is taking the best of everyone and making their own.
Absolutely,
So, we have nicked a lot of stuff from different cultures and different people and made it their own.
I was saying to Haran earlier, I visited back in 2000 20 years ago now.
Gosh.
But it was a fascinating... I got a fantastic piece of video from driving from the airport to Colombo.
Down on a tuk-tuk, you said, right?
Sorry?
In a tuk-tuk?
No, we were in a minibus. Okay. Yeah, it was a hotel minibus. Yeah. And it was unbelievably frightening filming this road. Because you've got what would be over here probably a two-lane... A road, yeah. And there was about six lanes of traffic in each lane. You know, you got people walking on the inside, all the way out to elephants and cows walking on the outside, and then tuk-tuks and all these things, and scooters and taxis, and you're going, how does everybody not die every day in these things?
So that's like India, isn't it?
Where, you know. I don't think it's as bad as India. I think it's improved a little bit in the last 20 years because they've built...
Since you were there.
But still, it still is manic. I don't know how people drive there, to be honest. I would never drive there.
Is the cow sacred there or not?
Cow. With the Hindus, it's sacred.
Yeah.
I think with the Buddhists as well. But obviously, Sri Lanka is so diverse.
Really diverse.
Buddhist as a majority, then Hindus, then Muslims and Christians. So different cultures and different religion, they eat different stuff. But if you go to the north, you wouldn't really find many beef dishes and things like that in terms of food. But
And I don't know how it is now, but again, when I was there, there was still this very colonial overview. A lot of the buildings are very colonial.
Yes.
And there was a kind of colonial feel to it, you know, the tea rooms and things like that that you came across, and punkawallas still serving tea and things.
Chaiwallas.
But you went from that to this very modern city of Colombo that was, you know, incredibly modern, diverse, and as you say, Aram, very buzzy and loads of things happening. I thoroughly enjoyed my time in Sri Lanka. It was beautiful and fantastic. Anyway, so you're originally Sri Lankan and...
Yeah, born in Colombo, raised in Jaffna because my parents were teachers and they would frequently get transferred to different places, so... I spent most of my bringing up in Jaffna, which is
north of Sri Lanka. North of the island?
Yeah. Tip of the island.
Yeah.
So Sri Lanka, you look at Sri Lanka like a mango shaped.
Yeah.
And it's at the tip of the mango, right next to India. So our food, and it's really famous for chilies and spicy food. So, that's where I grew up. And then due to the war in Sri Lanka, my parents decided enough is enough. And then we came to UK. And then... Since 12 years old, I've been in UK since 92.
Right.
And I grew up in Harrow. And for some reason, I always wanted to get a restaurant because I did a lot of charity work in Sri Lanka.
Right.
So during that time, I took a lot of English friends and American friends and people from different areas to Sri Lanka to try the authentic food, and everyone really loved it. And when they come back, first thing they would ask is, how do I make this and how do I make that? And also with my colleagues with work and stuff, they will always want to go and eat a Sri Lankan at a Sri Lankan restaurant.
Right.
But growing up, you know, before 2-3 years ago, they didn't have many choices. It's only like little cafes where just takeaway type of food. And
did your mum cook at home Sri Lankan food?
Oh yeah, my mum and my dad cook.
And your dad cooks.
Yeah.
Because traditionally, a lot of guys cook it out there, don't they? It's not necessarily...
Depends how good the mum is, right? Mum is really good, dad doesn't need to cook.
Yeah.
I think cooking, you know, as Sri Lankans, we find cooking as a relaxing thing. Open a beer or pour a couple of glasses of whiskey on a Friday night or Saturday night and cook and spend some time with friends. That's quite a normal thing to do in Sri Lanka. And traditionally as well, you know, one house would cook and we would share food across all our neighbours and things like that.
Oh, this is lovely. Yeah. So you then couldn't find the food to actually eat out.
Yeah, so we couldn't find a place. So we would cook at home and invite friends around, and we really wanted to promote Sri Lanka and our cuisine, because I think it's one of the best cuisines in the world. It's really light, really flavourful.
Aaron, just give us an overview of the type of thing that constitutes Sri Lankan food, and how does it differ from other Asian cuisine?
Yeah, I think just to start off with, the best way I would describe Sri Lankan food is take the best of Indian, and like South Indian, and then take best of Thai.
Right,
and kind of mix it together, and you kind of get to Sri Lankan. Sri Lankan thoroughly loves spices, Right. So spices is number one thing. You know, right. Every curry starts with a curry leaf and the spices. And Sri Lanka is really famous for cinnamon.
Right.
And we've got the best cinnamon in the world. And a lot of the stuff is based around coconut milk and coconut oil.
Right.
We have a lot of coconut in Sri Lanka. So right. We use a lot of coconut in our cooking. So because we use coconut oil, it's a lot more healthier.
Yeah.
And coconut milk is a lot more lighter. Whereas, you know, if you look at our neighbors, India, and some regions in India, they use ghee and they use dairy, which is a lot more heavier.
Yeah.
So Sri Lankan food is based on a lot of coconut and spices.
Mm.
And every region, people eat things differently. Not even every region, from door to door, you know, you could live next to a neighbor and their cooking style is so much different than your cooking style because what's been passed down the family.
So you've got the influences of the Portuguese, the Arabs, the English, the Dutch.
The Malays. And we had the spices.
So. Ah, so when I go to Cape Town, I always buy Cape Malay there. So you would probably have that similar spice as Cape Malay, which I rub into my roasts, you know, my meat and stuff.
I'm not aware of Cape Malay.
I'll bring some to you. I'd like it.
Yeah, because there's a lot of Malay guys living in Sri Lanka.
Yeah. Yeah, that's well, where it comes now, from.
So, but yeah, so Sri Lanka food is about rice and curry.
Right.
That's the best thing. Everything revolves around rice. You know, I think historically Sri Lanka is got lots of paddy fields and it's a farming country, right?
Yeah,
so absolutely. A lot of the farmers will eat the rice for slow release carbs and then go out the whole day and work.
Right. Mm. And of course, it's also famous for tea. Traditionally, Ceylon tea, the previous name of Sri Lanka, is world famous. And I have to say, when I was there and I drank local tea, I've never tasted anything so good in my life as local tea. You know, and it's standard, I can't remember what it was, Darjeeling or something I drank.
Yeah. Dilma is one of the, Dilma probably, yeah.
Just exquisite. Just the taste of it, totally different to anything you buy in the UK. I guess because it's fresh.
Yeah, you can still get Sri Lankan tea here because there's quite a large Sri Lankan community.
Well, that's what I was just drinking. It's what I got you for your birthday.
Yeah, yeah.
The black tea with ginger bits.
Ginger
in
lumps
it.
In it. Yeah.
Yes. I'll be going to Sri Lanka soon. I'll bring you some loose tea.
Yeah.
Which
is
proper.
Yeah.
You know, not in a tea bag.
I like him already. So, Aaron, in the Copper Ceylon restaurant, what's your signature dish or your most popular dish? What is it that everybody comes in and goes, I want one of those? Yeah. No, we'll talk about the cocktails in a minute.
I want to talk about the tea first because tea and something called short eats in Sri Lanka. It's like our version of sandwiches. So when we're running around and we haven't got enough time, we'll pick up things called short eats.
Right.
They're like baked or fried items, like mutton rolls, fish patties, vegetarian cutlets or veg rotis and things like that. So we're really famous for short eats, and the tea and the short eats really complement with each other.
Right.
You know, when you go in Sri Lanka, if you go to a nice fancy hotel, they'll always do nice afternoon teas.
Yep.
Whereas you got really nice Sri Lankan local tea with these lovely short eats. So actually, one of our best-selling things, starters in our restaurant, is called mutton roll. So it's like curried mutton,
right?
Wrapped in a fillet with spices and potato, wrapped in a fillet pastry with breadcrumbs. It's delicious. It's like
it's a pasty, isn't it? It's a Sri Lankan pasty. That is.
It's more crispier than a pasty.
Right. Okay.
And it's got a lot more kick to it.
A bit more taste.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's nice with a beer, or it's nice. Yeah. It's a nice starter. It's one of our best ones.
Okay.
We also have fish cutlets, which is made out of mackerel, which is similar texture to mutton roll. It's wrapped in a fillet pastry and fried.
Right.
And then we have another thing, which is second best, is hot butter squid. I don't know if you like some.
Hold on. Yeah. Hot buttered squid.
Yeah.
Hot buttered squid.
I'm dribbling already. Hot buttered squid.
That is delicious. So that's got a bit of a Chinese influence. So what our restaurant tries to do is, or what we are doing is, when you go to Colombo, you know, you go to these nice hotels and the menu is quite varied. They try and represent, like a different styles of cooking. So hot butter squid's got a bit of a Chinese, like a Sri Lankan Chinese influence, that kind of dish.
Right.
And it's really popular. We sell a lot of those too. They're the number ones at the moment.
Fantastic. It sounds delicious. Yeah. It's lovely to eat different things as well, I always think.
Yeah,
have something that I haven't had before.
Absolutely is. I mean, you know, I'm a great devotee of spicy food. I love all kind of spicy foods. And It's really nice to come across something that you haven't experienced quite the same before, because a lot of things can get samey after a while, can't they, because you've just had them so often. So I don't know, I like the sound of this.
So what made you open a restaurant then? Because you're not a restaurateur.
Yeah, so you know when you used to go to different restaurants and it's like, wow, I'd love to have one of those. And that has been going on for a while now. I think my first, when I started looking, was in 2011. We were so close to buying a place, but decided it wasn't the right time because I just had my daughter at that time, and we said, like, it's too much effort. And I kind of parked it to the side, but every now and then it would come back to me.
Coming back to you, didn't it? It was calling you,
calling
wasn't it?
Calling me to say, open one.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot of Sri Lankan restaurants not being opened by Sri Lankans. And a lot of Sri Lankan restaurants was claiming to be Sri Lankan without serving the authentic food. So I want to really open a restaurant where we are only cooking how we cook at home style cooking, authentic food, fresh ingredients, and like a more of a high-end Sri Lankan food.
Right. Okay.
So, and we want to promote Sri Lanka to the local community and everyone else, because Sri Lanka has gone through a lot of, you know, issues in the past 30 years with the war, tsunami, terrorist attack, now political crisis. So I think we need to do a lot to promote the country, because the people and the culture and the food is amazing, right? It's a shame the country is where it is at the moment.
I have to say, I totally agree. I mean, in the short time I spent there, you know, I just, more than anything, I found the people absolutely wonderful. They were just so friendly and, you know, and just so accommodating. And the island itself is a beautiful island. There's, you know, there's
beautiful beaches.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot going on. Some great monkeys.
Really?
And elephants.
Oh, and of elephants. Course, elephants. Yeah.
And elephants.
I love an elephant.
Yeah. They won't get out of the way, though, when you're driving.
No.
You can hoot all you like. They're not moving.
I couldn't eat a whole one, but I do love elephants. Yeah, yeah,
it's wild elephants as well, so you don't really want to go too close to them.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They're the ones with big ears or small ears?
No,
I
the
forget.
Asian ones have got small ears. African elephants, that's a bigger. And they're bigger as well, the African elephants.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, you'll be driving down Sri Lanka, not in the city, but in villages and stuff, and you'll see elephant crossing the road.
Yeah, exactly.
And all of a sudden you'll see everyone stop and wait for the elephant to cross.
You don't want to annoy the elephant.
You might be in trouble.
And when was the last time you were back there?
So I normally go there a couple of times a year.
What's the best time of year to visit?
Depends what region you're going to. For example, east is good from like December to April, May. And south of Sri Lanka is really good, you know, during winter time for us. So from August to December, January, that's a good place to go. At the south is very popular because it's so close to Colombo. People land at Colombo, Bandaranaike International Airport, which is the main airport there. And then you can just drive straight down to south, couple of hours, and you can just go to so many different places down the south. I think that's what a lot of tourists do. But it depends what kind of trip you're looking for. And if you want something cooler, you'll go up to the highlands. You can go there anytime you want.
So that's where the tea's grown?
Yeah, that's where the tea mountains. Plantations are. Yeah, in the mountains.
So that's Dilmar, and Dilmar's the only one I know.
Dilmar is the major one. That's So they're wholesalers, right? So not that many brands there. But yeah, it's there in the highland. There's a lot more meat. It's a lot more cooler. And yeah, it's nice to get away from the heat sometimes. That's why the British, when they were there, you know, when it gets too much, they would run off to the highlands to hibernate for a bit.
Absolutely. And the beaches are fantastic as well. Beautiful beaches.
Beautiful natural beaches. It's, I think, really famous for surfing as well. A lot of people are going there for surfing now.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Cool. Let's come back to Bromley.
Yes.
Dear old Bromley. So when did the Copper Ceylon open?
So it could not open a worse time in history. So we decided to open one finally after thinking about it for 10 years. And then we chose the worst time to open it. So we signed our lease in January 2020.
Oh, blimey.
Yeah. And kind of ripped the whole place up.
Right.
And ordered some bits and haven't ordered the other bits. So we were planning to open in May, but obviously COVID hit, lockdown came.
Yeah.
Then we didn't manage to open till September. So we're actually coming up to our second anniversary soon as well.
Right, okay.
Yeah, it's open in September. I don't want to go back to it, but you know what happened. Open, close.
Yeah.
And then I think finally this year we kind of had an uninterrupted period where we've been open for, so we can see a big difference to have that momentum build up. So I think we finally managed to open in September 2020.
Right, okay.
Yeah, but we were planning to open in May 2020 because
I own a number of businesses myself, and I've been in business myself for nearly 30 years. It's a funny thing. Businesses that open in the middle of a problem tend to survive better because the start alone,
they have to try harder.
It's just one of those things when you've suddenly committed to doing it and all of a sudden the world falls apart and you've already stepped into the void, so you have to make it happen, otherwise it's really
can't
bad.
Get any worse, right?
Exactly. And it can't get any worse. I've got absolutely nothing to lose here. I just got to go for it. And it's a funny thing now, I've been through three major crises, nothing like this, but I've been through three major crises, and it's a really interesting phenomenon watching businesses that open during those crises that actually do thrive. Whereas, it's a bit like a cull. A lot of businesses that really shouldn't be surviving, it's the final straw. Mm. When something like that happens, it just, they make the decision that goes, right, we'll get rid of this.
So how did you ride through that? For number one, presumably you're managing with staff, because a lot of hospitality businesses are not managing with staff. There's vacancies everywhere. And then how did you survive and keep your cool with it all?
It was harder for us because we're a Sri Lankan restaurant and we can't, it's not that many Sri Lankan chefs. Sri Lankan food is only, up and coming now in the last few years.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, not many people know about Sri Lankan restaurant. Mm-hmm. Now there's about 4 or 5 restaurants in London.
Yeah.
A lot of people know about Sri Lankan food. A lot of people have traveled to Sri Lanka. So it was hard for us to find specialist positions like, chefs. We couldn't find one here.
Mm.
So we had to get a sponsorship license and bring the chefs from, the best hotels in Colombo.
Mm. And then you've got to find them accommodation and look after them,
At the start. They pay for their own accommodation once they settle down.
Yeah.
But so I already made these commitments, right, for these guys to come over. So we had a mixologist coming, a bar manager, and these chefs all coming. And then, obviously, we had the staff, but we couldn't open.
Right.
And
so were they actually in England?
They were in England, yeah.
Wow.
So they were in England waiting to start. And for a new restaurant, it was really hard to survive on takeaway and delivery because no one really knew about us. And
exactly.
We had this massive, beautiful restaurant. And then all we were doing was trying to get on Deliveroo and Uber. So
have you got outside space?
We have got, we have.
Thank God for that, because that would have helped in
that
the helped lockdown.
We opened in April.
Because Al Fresco went mad, didn't it? Yeah. I mean, everybody was eating outside and huddled in their coats and hats.
I think one of the good things, another thing which helped us survive was because we just spent that money to do the restaurant up, so we didn't take any money in. So we had some money, VAT returns come back. Plus, furlough and bounce back loans and whatever else just kept us going until now. But like you said, you get more determined to make it happen when you start at the worst time. So, we're just putting a lot of energy and effort to open it back fully. We recently opened for lunchtime as well. And we're doing something really nice at lunchtime, actually. It's called Curry in a Hurry.
Love what that. So
I've got to show you this, Haran, because we're getting loads of feedback here on Twitter while you're talking. This is from Steph Young. She said, this show is seriously not good for my figure. She said, this is an accurate depiction of me whilst I'm listening to Haran on the Business Bunker show today. And she's posted this GIF.
Although Sri Lankan food, Steph, is actually quite healthy.
Yeah.
Because, like Haran says, you've got the coconut milk, so it's mostly dairy-free, I would think. So that suits a lot of people, dairy-free nowadays.
Yeah, we've got a lot of
and
options.
Also quite gluten-free, I would have thought.
We've got a lot of gluten-free options. We've got a lot of dairy-free options. Actually, we are vegan certified as well.
Wow.
Over 40% of our menu is vegan. So we do have a lot of options. And yes, definitely it's much more healthier because it's home-style cooking. Long as you don't eat too much carbs, I think there are options to eat loads of different vegetables. For example, if I talk about Curry in a Hurry.
Yeah, tell us about Curry in a Hurry. Buy one, get one free on this voucher.
Yeah, there's buy one, get one free.
Business lunch.
So bring a friend along and for £5, you'll get curry in a hurry.
Wow.
What curry in a hurry consists of is everything starts with the rice in the middle, that you can choose different curries. Normally, typically a one meat dish, whether it could be black pork curry, mutton curry, chicken curry. And then you can choose the vegetarian. It'll be dal, aubergine, beetroot, and papadums.
Delicious.
It's actually served on a plate on top of a banana leaf as well, because the banana leaf gives a lot of nutrients and also gives a lot of flavor. So, yeah, you don't have to worry too much about your figure. Obviously, if you're only eating Sri Lanka food a couple of times a week is good. But if you eat it every day, there is,
a problem.
You've got to watch your carbs. You've got to watch the rice and the rotis and things like that.
Yeah. That sounds delicious. So you've got curry in a hurry. And it says Tuesday to Friday, 12 to 3. So that's perfect for business people in the Bromley area. And they're calling it an exotic lunch menu. So that sounds absolutely delicious. Mm. And then you've got your happy hour, tropical cocktails. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I think we didn't just want to be a restaurant. We want to be a cocktail bar as well. If you look at a restaurant, when you walk in, the all the right-hand side is... So just to talk a bit about the restaurant before you go to that part is...
So the refurb that you've done.
Refurb, it was based on gems. Sri Lanka is really famous for gems. A lot of the royal families, jewel gems, their jewelries has Sri Lankan...
What are the gems out there? What
so they're famous for sapphire, ruby.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we based it on gems. So when you walk in, on the right is the emerald room, which is the bar. On the left is ruby, like let's go for Ruby Murray. So
yeah.
Ruby as the restaurant part, and then we have a VIP area at the back, which is Blue Sapphire. And
so it's quite a big restaurant then. You've got space.
Yeah, it's about 100 covers, excluding outside.
Excellent.
Yeah. Fantastic. I'm trying to catch up. Typical Twitter has now imposed a rate. Exceeded limit on me, I've had too many tweets. But I'm going to read some of these.
Point of Twitter.
Yeah, I know, they're idiots. Zeenat Noorani, I love listening to your passion, Haran, and love for food as this mirrors through your business.
Thank you.
And she said, I love Copper Ceylon's lamb chops, grilled, and the hoppers.
Oh, yes. So the hoppers is like a fermented rice flour.
Right.
It's like a Sri Lankan pancake. You can have it for breakfast, dinner, or lunch.
Wow.
Very popular in Sri Lanka. Very light.
A hopper.
It's like, have you had dosa?
Yeah.
So it's similar to dosa, but it's fermented rice flour as well.
Right.
Then you can make it with coconut milk in the middle, egg in the middle, or milk and jaggery in the middle. It's a really light snack.
Right,
great for breakfast and dinner as well.
Fantastic. Sounds wonderful. Everybody's drooling around here on Twitter. They're all going, they're all dribbling.
Yeah.
Just come to Copper Ceylon, we'll feed you.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you're already planning Christmas. I hate to mention Christmas already in September, but this should be your first proper Christmas then.
Yeah, so this is the first proper Christmas. We're really excited about it because last couple of Christmas, it was a stop start.
You only
got 1 week of Christmas in 2021.
Yeah, hideous. So what is a typical Sri Lankan Christmas? Run us through. And will you be serving something like that at the restaurant?
Yeah, so I think we're going to do a nice Christmas menu because we like our chefs to show off their culinary skills with things like Western food with the Sri Lankan influence. So I know I don't want to say all because we're going to release it soon, but we got like chicken lollipops as starters, like scallops marinated with Sri Lankan spices.
Delicious.
As starters, turkey rolls, and that's for the vegetarian is a rice and curry, like a thali. So we got a lot of variety. We're trying to change it up a little bit from the standard menu, and probably going to run that Christmas menu from November 15th to December or something like that, early November. It's an exciting menu.
Okay, before we let you go, we need to excite Jules by talking about your cocktails.
Hold on.
Wait for it. Zeenat has been on. Zeenat has obviously been here a few times, because she knows her way around the menu.
Lamb chops.
Yeah. She says espresso martini, but at Copper Ceylon, the Rivana is the signature drink, and it's yummy.
Yes.
Really?
So tell us about the Rivana, Aaron.
Before I tell about the Rivana, I want to tell you that we brought some guys over from Burj Al Arab to create our cocktail menu.
Right.
And we have some great signature dishes in there, and we want to bring the Sri Lankan influence in there. So Rivana, we like the cocktail to taste good as well as have a nice presentation.
Yep.
So Rabana is a gin-based cocktail. It's a sweet cocktail, very popular with the ladies.
Mm.
And it comes with a presentation on a wooden plate with a closed chamber.
Right.
With dry smoke in it. So when you come to...
Blimey, it sounds like a theatrical production, doesn't it?
Yeah, I love that. It's so, like a witch's brew.
Yeah, you can see that on the Instagram. We can see some of the videos on there. Mm. But once you open it up, all the smoke comes out. It's like... it smells beautiful. And the concept behind that is one of the kings. His name is Ravana.
Right.
He's like a famous king in Sri Lanka. So he used to live in the mountains.
Right.
So that's to represent the clouds and things like that. And I don't know if you heard about Sri Lankan arak as well.
No, I haven't. So how do you make that? Is that with coconut?
So it's coconut-based arak. It's, it's similar to rum. It's white rum.
Yeah.
It's made out of the sap of a coconut flower.
Delicious.
And it's delicious as well. You can make a really nice cocktail with it.
So that's like a white rum, did you say?
It's a white rum.
So you could do a daiquiri with that as well then?
You could do a daiquiri. You can replace that with any, like use arak instead of any rum in the cocktails as well. So...
Yeah, so I could have your portion of the cocktail.
You could, and I could have your portion of the...
You can have some of my rice.
I can have a banana pasty. Okay.
Yeah, we do get a lot of ladies who come to the restaurant to enjoy the cocktails.
Yeah. I can imagine.
Especially after hours.
Yeah. I can imagine. So, I can imagine. Listen, this sounds wonderful. We're going to visit. We're going to visit and try all of this.
Yeah, thank
because
you. Please do.
Because that's the only way we're really going to do this. And you've kindly bought us a few things that we're going to have for our supper tonight, which we're really looking forward to.
In a banana leaf.
It's wrapped in a banana leaf. Yeah. And I'm really looking forward to that. Haran, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. We wish you much continued success with Copper Salon restaurant. You can find it in East Street, Bromley. If people want to book a table or find out more about your menus, what's your website?
So www.coppersalon.com. Copper as in the metal copper and Salon as in salontea.com. You can go through there and book a table. And if you want to know what we're up to, follow us on Instagram as well, at Copper Salon. And you can find us there. And thank you so much for having me on the podcast.
It's absolute pleasure.
Well, there's a review here. I'm just going to read it. It says, delicious Sri Lankan food. I'd read the good reviews before, but the quality and taste of the food surpassed my expectations. Lively atmosphere on a Saturday night and great service.
Mm.
So there's a thing. And they have a live DJ open till 2 a.m. The weekend shift.
Can get a gig.
And we've been voted the best Sri Lankan restaurant in London this year.
Wow. Fantastic.
So, wow. I love the way that that you've just got, as Zeenat said, your passion has come through on all this. And just looking at the marketing and the pictures and everything, it's beautiful.
Yeah. It is. Right. If you didn't write down the website, we've linked to the website on the radio website as well. So that will be there forever, show number 595. You can find the link there to the restaurant. Do check it out. Haran Thurai Raja, thank you so much joining us. It's been an absolute pleasure and a fascinating insight into Sri Lankan cuisine. And we're drooling here and we're looking forward.
I'll invite you guys to come along.
We're going to visit. Yeah. Don't you worry. We're going to visit and
you might regret
check
it.
You out. Yeah. You might regret us coming because she's going to drink you dry and I'm going to eat you dry. So there we go.
The lovely picture of Zeenat on their tuk-tuk.
We do have a tuk-tuk as well, which we drive around.
So they drive it around.
Yes, it's a roadworthy one. So we do a bit of marketing on that.
And you can deliver on that.
Yeah. Well, they deliver the drunks back to the station.
Yeah.
Right. DG East has tweeted a complete change of subject. Vanilla Web Jewel Circuit, please can you give a shout out to a show sponsor suffering with a 33% increase in fees from the Financial Conduct Authority. We feel for you, Terry. We really do. It's outrageous. The cost of government is beyond any comprehension at the moment. I want to read a few of these tweets from Zeenat as well. She said, first of all, she said, did Darren Dazzle, that's him in the corner, give you both a hug? He actually did. Yes, he did.
Yes, he did.
And she's also asked for, and I've got to find it now.
She's talked a lot about lamb chops.
She does keep going on a bit about lamb chops. Yeah, she was saying about about the interview in the first half about from Pam Locke regarding mental health and well-being in the workplace and how vital it is and should be taken into more consideration, as well as looking after those that are working from home. So that's a very good point, Zeenat. She got the cheesy tunage. And she's also asked for a huge shout out for Darren Wheel of TuneIn, InTune PR. And she says, I would like to give a huge shout out to Darren Wheel of InTune PR for all his amazing PR and marketing that he does for me and my business. And she says, gracias, Dazzle. Okay. He can't say anything because he hasn't got a mic, so he's not allowed to say anything. So he's smiling pleasurably, I think is the way to put that. Yeah. So let's give that a retweet. We've had dozens of tweets. I can't read them all. Sorry if I haven't read your tweet. I'm really sorry, but we're kind of running out of time, and we've got some other stuff to cover. One of the UK's largest fresh produce companies has been given the go-ahead to open a lorry park in Canterbury.
A lorry park in Canterbury. Why do they need one in Canterbury?
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Please do.
Yeah. Council officers approved Gomez's plans to reconfigure its site off Cold Arbor Lane Bridge to make room for an increased number of HGVs staying overnight. So it's in Bridge, so it's just off the A2, basically, which would be why. The firm says the 24-hour site, which will cater for another 26 lorries, can help free up lay-bys on the surrounding road network. Truckers for Gomez will be able to use existing toilet and showering facilities at the base, which has been in operation since 1989.
I didn't know that.
There you go.
Unemployment rates in the county continued to fall last month, but inflation continues to outstrip wage increases, leaving many worse off. According to the latest figures from the Office for National Statistics, the total number of people out of work in July stood at 37,625.
That's in Kent and Medway.
That's the equivalent of 3.3% of the population in Kent and Medway.
Very low, yeah.
And Sevenoaks, which was historically one of the lowest rates of unemployment in the county, saw a rise of 25, equating to 2% of its population claiming benefits. Folkestone and Hythe saw an increase of 20, which is 4% of its population, claiming universal credit. And Tunbridge Wells edged up by 5 to 2.3%.
But it's all still very low.
The highest rates continue to be in Thanet, of course.
Thanet.
Despite another month-on-month drop, those claiming in the district stand at 4,690, despite a drop of 75, with 5.8% out of work, and yet so many vacancies.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's a new Go Green Information Centre that opens in the Maidstone Mall on Thursday, the 8th of September. That's this Thursday at 10 a.m. Come along and find out more. This is a pop-up centre. It's making use of a currently empty unit located on the first floor near the King Street entrance, just by the escalators, opposite Muffin Break. There you go. Maidstone Borough Council's Climate Change and Biodiversity team has taken over the unit for September and will be using it to help anyone who may be confused, sceptical or unsure of where to start with becoming more green and sustainable. People will be able to drop by for energy-saving help, money-saving grants, sustainable living ideas, wildlife-friendly gardening tips, active travel advice, recycling activities and more. Oh, does that mean they're going to empty my mum's bins eventually? That would be helpful, wouldn't it?
They've still not been done.
Three times they missed my mum's bins. There will be resources and giveaways to help people better understand the solutions, products and services already available. The Information Centre will also have a recycling game for everyone to have a go at, with displays and information on how to recycle more. The Go Green Information Centre will be open from Thursday to Sunday, from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. every week until Sunday the 9th of October. To celebrate Great Big Green Week, the centre will open every day between Saturday the 12th of September, 24th of September and Sunday the 2nd of October, located in the Maidstone Mall, formerly the Chequers Centre, formerly the Stonebridge Centre, formerly the Maidstone Mall, and now we're back to the Maidstone Mall again.
Sustainable food and drink innovation gets a £2 million funding boost. I don't know if there's anything in this for you, Haran, but we'll see. Businesses in the horticultural food and drink supply chain can apply for a share of lots of money. I can't do all the zeros, but lots. As Growing Kent and Medway launch a new round of collaborative research and development grants. The grants are worth between $50,000 and $350,000, and they must help support the transition to net zero and deliver improved productivity and sustainability for businesses across the horticultural food and drink supply chain. Six innovative businesses in Kent were awarded a share of £1 million in funding during the first round of this competition, and you can find out about the winning projects online. Businesses must collaborate with a research organisation in the Kent and Medway region in order to apply for a grant. And it opens on Monday the 5th of September, so that's yesterday. Applications will be made through the Innovation Funding Service, where you can find full eligibility, scope and further information on how to apply. So you can go to Growing Kent, that's growing with a G, growingkentandmedway.com, and it's supported by UK Research and Innovation Strength in Places Fund. So there could be some money there for a food business. I guess that's if you're wanting to bring a new product to the line, perhaps.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
A new cocktail, perhaps.
Absolutely.
That's sustainable.
Yeah. Poor conflicting bias device costs thousands of pounds in unnecessary and oversized heating equipment, and it also now costs a lot more to run. Spend your budget wisely on measures that actually save cash and carbon. We provide expert and impartial action plans tailored for you. Now, this is the Heating Hub, and Joe and the team at the Heating Hub have been brilliant here. They have a way of saving between 6 and 10% on your gas bills, and it's really, really simple. You tone down the flow control temperature on your boiler. If you go to their website and give your email address, they will send you a PDF of how to do it yourself. Mm. And it is really simple. Mm. I've done it. I saved 10% on my bill just by turning the flow control down.
So is that like turning... Is there where you got your numbers on there or
something?
No,
it's not.
I looked at my boiler.
It's not turning the temperature down, so you don't make your house colder. Mm. It's the flow control temperature on your boiler. The easiest thing is to download the PDF that tells you all about it. To do that, go to theheatinghub.co.uk.
Sounds really, really good, that. I told you I turned off one of my boilers. We've got three in our house, and I've turned one off, and it's really helped. Mm. And I'm pretty good at turning off lights and things like that. I'm very good at that. I turn off the TV. I never leave it on standby at night.
I'm still in the, it's like Blackpool Illuminations round here.
Are you?
Yeah. Turn the lights off.
No, we're very frugal.
Yeah.
And my new husband's not so frugal, but I'm very frugal on it. But I think turning off the telly at night is a good one, isn't it? Not leaving it on standby.
Yeah.
Although I was turning off all our Alexas, and we got four. But I read that they don't. But
they
don't
take very much power. No.
Do they take some though?
Yeah, they do take everything. Everything takes a drain.
So it's worth turning. And also, when my kids visit, they've got electric toothbrush, obviously. And when they go in the guest bathroom that they use, I unplug even their toothbrush.
Blimey,
I'm good, aren't I?
Yeah, no, that's really bad.
And I'm getting the sort of the taste for it now. I kind of enjoy it.
Right. So, have you got some more emails to read?
I have.
I need you to read a few because I need to make a visit.
Okay. Well, there's only 1 week to go. You can book now to ensure your place. It's the new breakfast networking with Base Point, and the Marsh Network is only a week away. And the meeting is at 7:45 a.m. on the 13th of September. Early booking is recommended and is available now at www.marshnetwork.co.uk. And it'll close on Monday the 12th of September. There's Base Point Folkestone, which is in a really good location near the M20, they say. If you would like a reasonable start time and want to spend most of your time networking, building relationships, growing your network and having the opportunity to tell others about yourself and your business, then Marsh Network breakfast meetings are for you. Haram, while he's out, let's just have a little quick chat. So do you have any business networking groups that go to your lovely copper?
The mayor's office is having a little charity dinner there. The BNI,
it sounds like you've got a separate room that you could do that. Is that your VIP? How many does your VIP room
sit? It's 26 seated.
So that's perfect for
For close dinners, for smaller groups of, you know, smaller than 20, 25 is perfect for that. But we do hire out separate areas of the bar for private functions, for birthday parties and things like that. So you could hire the Ruby Room or the Emerald Room or the VIP Room based on number of guests. But yeah, so To be honest, it's been hard for me to attend the breakfast meetings because we finish really late.
And you've got the meetings your at 5:36. Needs to sleep.
Yeah. And I'm not a morning bird either.
No. Well, I think if you're doing late nights, it's very difficult to do both unless you've got staff that a night staff and a morning staff, I guess.
Yeah, we only recently opened for lunchtime because of COVID. We only did evening because a lot of the offices went to hybrid working and things like that. So most of the things were in the evening, and for us, we'll go to bed quite late. So it was hard for us to. But I am going to try and make a bit more effort to attend these network meetings.
And I was just thinking that. Lunch is actually my favourite meal of the day. I think lunch is the best, and like I do a lot of business networking over lunch because sort of nights I'm old now and I kind of like being at home and stuff in the evenings. But lunch is a great way to business network. So would you do a set lunch for if people like 20 people came, 25, or pre-order even?
Yeah, we have set menus, so you can choose. We've got different menus. We've got three different set menus you can choose from for lunch based on your budget. And also, we're really flexible. Our motto is, if it's possible, we'll make it happen. So,
Sounds very, very hands-on. Oh, he's back now, so I better read something. And then we won't tell him we've been chatting, Haran. Seven Oaks Chamber Networking, the 7th of September. That's 10:30 to 12. The meeting is sponsored by Chamber Business Partners, Warner Solicitors. And it's hosted at Ruth's, R-E-U-T-H-E. I guess it's pronounced Wreaths, maybe. And it's the Lost Gardens of Seven Oaks. And there's also Kent Virtual Networking, if you don't want to attend, but there's the virtual networking, which is Wednesday the 28th of September, 4 to 5 p.m. And it's hosted by Peter Searle. You can find out all details of everything you've heard today on kentbusinessradio.co.uk. And if you to put a little /on the calendar, you'll find out everything we've mentioned.
Daz has been putting photographs of me on the interweb.
It was great when you went out to the ladies because Haran and I had another natter.
Did you?
About more food and things.
Did you?
Yeah, and business networking.
You cut me out, didn't you?
Yeah, it was great.
You blagged him for something, haven't you, while I'm not here?
Yeah, you should leave the studio more often.
Well, Daz has put a picture of me getting all previous over the hot buttered squid.
At least you weren't eating it. Look, Tenterden Folk Festival comes around again, Paul Andrews. Thursday 29th of September to Sunday the 2nd of October. You can book tickets. There's a campsite and find out all details. TenterdenFolkFestival.org.uk. I should send that to our guest, Neil O'Hara, was on last week with his mobile camper van.
His motorhomes,
And
we got a picture here. I don't know, you mentioned it earlier, I think.
Did
which
I?
Is Zenat with the tut-tut.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like it.
So it's got to be a huge restaurant to have all these ruby rooms and emerald rooms and VIP rooms and
100 covers.
Yeah, exactly.
Sweet. I've got a picture of a greyhound. I don't know why I've got that. Why have I got a picture of a greyhound?
I don't know. Is that right. Is it my dog?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. She probably asked me to send it to you.
Yeah.
There's How to Get More Clients, a free social media with our own very own social guru, Zoe Cairns. It's all online. It's happening on the 12th to the 16th of September. She says she'll walk you through the step-by-step strategies she's used to get started without knowing anything about social media, and you'll learn how she's gone on to become one of the most successful social media mentors. So you can grab your free place now on the social media challenge, and you'll find out how to get a good social media strategy, how to attract your ideal customer, how to build your email list and online community, how to increase your social media engagement, how to get more inquiries and the clients. Go to zcsocialmedia.com/socialmediasuccesschallenge to find out more.
There's a tweet here from Catherine at Book of Wire, the bookkeeping people. We were talking earlier about digital currencies and banks and all the rest of it. And she says, do you know when paper £20 and £50 notes expire? According to the Bank of England, the majority of banknotes have been replaced, but there are still more than £6 billion worth of paper 20s and £8 billion worth of paper 50s in circulation.
Well, where are they? They'll be in people's pockets and things.
Under their mattress.
Yeah, sometimes I do a wash and my new husband doesn't clear his pockets and I find the odd fiver going around.
Yeah, okay. Well, nowadays, of course, with the plastic ones, you know what happens to them if you wash the plastic ones?
No.
Do you remember when you were a kid, you used to buy bags of crisps, and when you finished eating the crisps, you'd throw it on the fire, and it would shrink.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it'd shrink. So you'd still get a bag of crisps, but the bag would be about 2 inches square.
Fun size, yeah.
Yeah. If you throw a note on the fire or put it in the washing machine, that's exactly what it does.
Really?
It shrinks.
So
yeah.
You can't
They're
use
plastic.
Them.
So They're plastic. No, you can't use them. They're plastic. Oh. They shrink.
That's really annoying.
That's how they're getting rid of them.
That's really annoying, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When do they expire anyway? Are they expired already, the £50?
Sorry?
The old £50 note, they expired, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, it's just I'm thinking about the folk festival because I'm, as you know, I'm going to Valencia, aren't I? And
Valencia.
I get back.
She's going on holiday again.
Yeah,
that's her fifth holiday of the year.
I know. I was locked in for 2 years. I'm making the most of it. But I get back on the 1st of October. If there's any burglars listening, my house will be occupied.
Mm.
There's
five big rugby players, two vicious dogs, a guy with a machine gun.
And all my kids looking after the dog as well.
Yeah.
Adult kids. But I'm back on the 1st of October, so I could go to this Tenterton Folk Festival in my wagon.
You could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I might go.
Yeah. It's quite good fun.
Yeah.
Zinette says, thank you to the mighty duo.
Is that us?
That'll be us, Batman and Robin.
Yeah.
Always love listening in to you guys. Thanks for the shout out and mention. See you both soon for a real hug.
Okay. Well, Zina and I are already planning to meet at Copper Salon.
I bet you are.
Not just for cocktails either, for the lamb chops and all sorts.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
It sounds really good. I'm just trying to make sure I've covered everything I need to cover from the Twitter things.
Yeah, did you see Zina? She says September for the £50 ends. Have you read that?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I'm not really paying attention at the moment.
No, you're not. You never pay attention to me.
There's a lot going on, isn't there? There's lots
absolutely.
Twitter. So, Southeast England, did I read this? It's Women in Enterprise Virtual Networking, and that's the 7th of September. It's 12 to 1 o'clock, and it's online. So, that details of that will be on kentbusinessradio.co.uk as well.
Sure.
And I've just seen a lovely picture of the Queen with Liz, our new Prime Minister.
So oh, the Queen, not the Queen. not Brian May. And
the Queen, the Queen.
And do you know the thing about Brian May? You know he's a professor of physics.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, you know when people say trust the scientists.
Yeah.
Well, Brian May's a professor of physics, right? But he also wrote "Fat Bottom Girls Make the World Go Round."
Oh, hang on.
So
this
do you
is
think
the Queen
that's scientific?
Guitarist.
Yeah, yeah,
guitarist.
Yeah.
It's not. I was thinking of somebody else. I got it all mixed up. The one with the hair.
Yeah.
He's great, isn't he?
Yeah,
so he wrote Fat Bottom Girls, didn't
he?
No,
I'm you miss. Oh, she's ruined my joke. No, she ruins my jokes every time.
No, I was just thinking.
No, you ruined my joke. You deliberately ruined my joke.
I was thinking about the Sri Lankan food that I'm going to be eating tonight.
I know what you're thinking about. Yeah, don't you worry.
I'm wondering what to drink with it tonight. I've got some really nice organic dry white wine.
Yeah.
What do you reckon?
White wine will go
or red wine. I've got a really nice organic red wine as
so
well.
So the meat element is chicken and mutton.
Mutton. So you could have together. Either or
you
both.
Could have either, and it's got a lot of seafood as well. It's got the fish cutlets in there. It's got a boiled and fried egg in there.
I'm so lucky. I love
it. Eight different kind of.
So I could start off with a little white wine and then go on to a little red wine and then finish with a cocktail.
Yeah,
I mean, you've got it all going on there, Paul Andrews.
Absolutely.
You know?
I tell you what, Aaron, a friend of ours, Paul Barbara,